Fayette is fortunate to have a local FM radio station, KPIP, which is the flagship program of a nonprofit organization, International Educational Resources for Rural Missouri, or IERRM, whose mission is to cultivate and nurture community educational radio in and around Fayette. In addition to offering content developed elsewhere, KPIP is proud to feature local programming and look to area residents to offer their perspectives on topics of interest to them and their friends and neighbors. The following programming does just this as it engages local citizenry, who are the experts on the area's history because they have lived it. This series is called Howard County Remembers and builds on work done when the county celebrated its 200th birthday in 2016. That year, a fine publication entitled Howard County, Missouri, From Prairie Land to Promised Land, A Remembrance Across Two Centuries, was released. This radio series embellishes on the extensive information contained in that book, which may be found at the Howard County Public Library. To back up, though, the genesis of these programs was inspired by this year's celebration of the state's bicentennial. While Howard County was organized by an act of the General Assembly of the Territory of Missouri in 1816, it was followed 5 years later in 1821 when Missouri was recognized as a state by the United States Congress, making 2021 Missouri's bicentennial year. We decided to tie together these two historically close occasions by focusing on aspects of Howard County's history and keep these in KPIP archives, as well as offer audios of the broadcast to the State of Missouri Historical Society to keep in its archives.
Hello. This is Jane Krigler. I'm project coordinator for the Howard County Remembers radio series. Today we will hear from Susan Donnelly and Mary Jarbo, two well-known residents of Fayette who grew up in Armstrong and got their start in antiques there. Over the years, their interest and involvement in antiques never waned. But beyond that, they had other careers, as each was a public school teacher for decades. Then, too, each took time away to get married and raise their families. Wow, what assets they are to our community. As for me, I lived in Fayette as a teenager and returned many times to visit my parents who lived here. I now own a house here and split my time between Fayette and Kansas City. As a young adult, I often visited Markland Antiques in Armstrong, Susan's and Mary's father's expansive antique shop, and I still have several pieces I acquired there. So when we began scoping out programs for this radio series about Howard County history and those who live here and can tell the story, I thought how interesting it would be to hear from Susan and Mary about their lives in antiques. They asked me to pose some questions, and they would take it from there. So here are Susan Donnelly and Mary Jarbo. Thank you for being here. Susan.
Thank you for inviting us.
And Mary.
Thank you. We're glad to be here and share our knowledge.
How did you get started in the antiques business?
We always talk a lot about our dad, Bill Markland, who was raised in Armstrong. From the time he was a small child, he was interested in the antique business because the neighbors, the Martin family, had originally started a hardware store in Armstrong and later took on a selection of glassware and catalog items for sale. Now, this would have been late 1800s, early 1900s, and he was just there all the time helping them with their business.
In the 1920s, when our father was just starting school in Armstrong, He spent, as Mary said, a lot of time with the Martins. And as the Martins grew older and one by one passed away or quit being active in the antique business, Miss Viola was the only one left. And in the early 60s, she finally decided she no longer wanted to run the antique shop. So our parents bought the antique shop from her and ran it then until the year 2000, when they closed and auctioned off all that they had.
Did you work there as kids?
Oh, yes.
Yes, worked there quite a bit. Probably I was there a little more than Susan and would spend my summers in Armstrong and then if Mother and Dad were on vacation. But it was Dad's life from the time he was a small child. He would travel with the Martin family as they went about the countryside looking for antiques in a different way than we would today, because it was fairly common to just go up and knock on someone's door and say, "Do you have something for sale?" One of my very favorite stories was one time they went to a house and knocked, and a lady came to the door, and Mr. Clint said, "Well, do you have anything in the way of antiques that you would sell us?" And the lady said, "Oh no, we were burned out during the war and everything has been new since then." Now, she was referring to the Civil War, and so she didn't think any of her things were antiques. But the antique shop in Armstrong had a nationwide business. They started a catalog that they mailed out, which was kind of unusual, I think, at that time. People of interest who visited the antique shop included Fibber McGee and Molly. Joe DiMaggio's wife would come, and several of these are written up in the old Armstrong Herald newspapers about the famous people that were in Armstrong on any given day just to visit the antique shop. And long after it was closed, and my husband and I were still living in Armstrong, people were still coming to the house looking for us. Can we get into the antique shop? Is it still here? And so forth. So it was quite well known and a very popular place to visit.
When did you open your store?
We opened in 2005 and operated until the summer of 16. People would often say, "Well, where do you get all these things?" And we would kind of laugh because we got them everywhere. Somebody would walk in the door with a few things to sell, or someone would come and say, "Come down to Aunt So-and-so's house. There's things we don't know what to do with." And we would go, and we might suggest that they just put it all at an auction, or we might buy a few things, or we may visit other antique shops, antique malls, just wherever you found things that were interesting.
And did you specialize in something in particular?
I don't believe so. We just had pretty much a general line, whatever we thought might be attractive to people, whether it be glassware, furniture, primitives, European art glass, quite a variety of things, some jewelry. Lamp parts were always a big thing. That kind of started in the Armstrong store. And people came for years wanting replacement hardware and replacement glass for lamps. And so they were well known for the lamp parts. And so we did carry some of that and also could order for people. So that was something that interested people that maybe really weren't interested in antiques so much.
The store was located on North Main in Fayette. What's the most valuable item you ever sold?
You know, we talked about that, and I'm not really sure what jumps out in my mind that was extremely valuable.
I remember Dad had a very valuable parlor set near the end of their running the antique shop in Armstrong that probably was a museum quality.
And we had one, too, also from someone from Columbia had sent us a parlor set of a Belter-style Victorian chair, two chairs, I believe, and a large love seat. And that might have been one of the highest priced pieces we sold, but it was a very desirable set.
If you hadn't described it, I would have had to ask what was in a parlor set, because that's, you know, the way we are now. And were there any funny encounters you had?
I remember the day Mary and I were both at the shop, and all of a sudden the door opened and a man literally fell into the doorway.
Fell flat on his face, and we were horrified, and he had a cane and it went flying, and so, you know, we assumed he had some perhaps handicap. We tried to get him up. "Oh no, I'll be fine," he said, and he managed to get himself up. And he had heard about us, and he was a collector of carnival glass. He knew we had some pieces, and so he came from a distance, actually. And
came more than once.
Right, yeah, he came more than once and was very interested in what we had.
And he didn't hurt himself?
No, he was fine.
Okay. Or a set of antiques or whatever that are kind of peculiar to this area of Missouri or Howard County in particular? Or is it just a lot of different stuff?
I don't think of anything special. And while we say the Victorian things right now are not selling very well, there's a lot of Victorian furniture and other items in Harrah County in this area. Most houses you'll go into will have a few pieces of Victorian furniture or dishes or things of that type.
What is selling these days?
Ooh.
Well, I do think that high-quality primitives are a very popular thing, whether you go to a sale, an actual auction, or whether you are involved in online buying, which has become certainly a very busy business since the pandemic.
Mary, what would you have to say about what might be a peculiar type of antique here in Howard County or Mid-Missouri?
One thing that is very popular in this area is the Westfall baskets. The Westfalls were actually from Higbee, several generations of them, and they made white oak baskets, did their own cutting of the white oak. As a child, I can remember going up there and getting the white oak strips for seats, woven seats for chairs. And they also, of course, were making baskets. Lots of egg baskets. Skillman's store here in Fayette carried a lot of their baskets and carried some that were actually painted green. And that seems to be a very unusual thing. But if we go to sales, even some distance from here, we will occasionally see Westfall baskets. They are very popular. There are still family members that are looking to collect all of them. And there is actually one in the Smithsonian. So I think that says a lot for the importance of that item.
Are there other treasures out there that you can think of?
Oh, yes.
So there's still stuff to be had.
Oh, there's lovely stuff to be had. Yes.
And where do people find that?
Lots of places. There's several dealers around who really look for really nice things or interesting and unusual things. And we occasionally buy things at an auction. We will go to Iman Sales from Salisbury, Cody Martin over in Boonville, Dirk Sulis up at Lone Jack has auctions of a lot of artwork and sometimes some very nice antiques.
And what do you do with them? Put them in your house or marry them?
Well, yes, unfortunately, we do put a lot in our house. We collect a number of things, have several interesting collections that are taking up space, but we enjoy them and we enjoy looking for more pieces. But we also are amazed if we run through an antique mall and we'll see something that we've not collected, but we know it's a really good item, whether it, again, be china or glass or lamps. We have quite a collection of lamps, and I will say that we don't find so many of those here in Missouri. A lot of the early glass companies and lamp companies were from the north and the east, and you find more as you travel that direction that are truly of the unusual type.
If you go to like the flea market at Midway, might you find something?
Yes, you might.
We recently found a Picard china that would be a French china. We recently found a pitcher, a cider pitcher or a lemonade pitcher, kind of a squatty pitcher, for a very good price, and have been following those on eBay just as get an example of what they are going for today. And we feel like we did very well with that particular purchase.
If you had to talk about what you're really passionate about collecting, let's start with Susan, what you'd say, and follow with Mary.
One of the things that I have collected is some rose medallion china. It was made in China, probably for the export market. I think the oldest we know of was around the mid-1800s, and some is still made. There are newer reproductions. It has soft pinks and greens, which are my favorite colors, and our mother collected it. And we all have some of hers, and I've collected additional pieces and also have enough plates now to serve a meal, and I rather enjoy it. And the newer is interesting because as you handle it and look at it without being told, I think you can determine which piece was old and which was new. The colors are not as pretty on the newer pieces. The colors aren't as good.
And lacking in some detail, I think.
Yes, I think a little bit. So we really do enjoy that. We've always had some interest in the George Caleb Bingham artwork and have collected books about Bingham, and we've all been reading lately on Bingham, so that's been an interesting thing. And I think all of us in our family have been interested at one time or another in pretty art glass and colorful things of that type. Mary has collected pictures over the years, So we do have kind of an eclectic list of things we like.
We have collected early American pattern glass. That would be glass that was made 1880s on up to 1900, 1910 perhaps. A lot of times it's in color, but it can also be clear. It's known by its different patterns, the different work on them. It's not the same as cut glass. It truly is a pressed glass, and cut glass has been cut by a wheel or some method. It gives it that sharpness and sparkle. So we have several patterns of that we look for. We are known for our lamps. We have hundreds of lamps of all styles. Again, most of those 1800s, hanging lamps, very small lamps, but it's a fun thing to look for. We've collected some children's furniture. People sometimes refer to me as the doll lady, but I'm not really into dolls other than I have a few to show off the children's furniture. Like Susan mentioned, I'm also interested in the Binghams and the Rose Medallion. Another thing that I've taken up collecting with a friend or two is quilts, older quilts. I like quilts that are unusual, that have really fine quilting. Maybe the quilt isn't in perfect condition, but again, the way it was made, the patterns, and so those we have upcoming, you know, the quilt show at Lynn Memorial, the end of July. And I always look for some of the older quilts that have some unusual features that I can send, because I do think there are a lot of people who are very interested in the older ones and their uniqueness. So that's some of the things that we collect and continue to look for more, but who knows? We may start collecting something new tomorrow.
I would like to tell the listeners that they might want to check out the State Historic Society's bicentennial site, because one of the submissions from quilters here in Howard County is Howard County, the mother of counties. We did a program on that earlier in this series, but several of the well-known quilters around here submitted to that, and you can go see those. And there's also photographs that were entered for the bicentennial if you look at the website. So it's a nice place to go to see more Howard County items. Where would a listener go to have an item appraised? Do you have to find your way to somebody, or can you go online? Or how do you do it these days?
There's a lot of answers to that question.
Okay.
We do some appraisals. Certainly if it's something that we do know about or that we can easily access the information. We do know a few people who might be also good appraisers, again, depending on the uniqueness of your item, the rarity of your item, that sort of thing. I'm sure that some of the auctioneers that sell better things might also be a valuable source in giving an idea of how much it's worth.
And I think on jewelry, both McAdams in Columbia and a store or two in Boonville advertise that they will do appraisals and repair work. I think it's interesting to find repair people. Most jewelry stores who have been in business for a while could do repaired for most things, but finding repairmen for furniture has become very difficult.
Right. We relied on Don Espensheed for years. I probably saw him 3 or 4 times a week, and he was so interesting and so helpful, and we always enjoyed working with him and the many things that he learned that he would say, I had no idea that that's how this was made or whatever. And we had old catalogs and magazines with examples, and we might take them to him or give him a little sketch. But he just developed into quite a fine woodworker. There were a few others, of course, back in Armstrong, Finest Shiplet could do about anything. And unfortunately, that's becoming a lost art for furniture. It's hard to find someone to repair. Hopefully somebody listening to this will go, I can repair old things, and then they'll let us know. Daryl Ridgewell here in town was just an exceptional woodworker and so knowledgeable about styles and ages and the different woods themselves. I sort of regret that he's not really doing that for the public. because he has a lot of talent.
Back to the appraisal. One easy way to get a vague idea of what something is worth is to go to eBay, see what's out there and what it's priced, but then go to the completed items section and see what things actually sold for.
If it's all right with you, I'd like to offer to the listeners, if they have input on anything they've heard here or questions they'd like to put to you all, why don't they call the radio station 94.7? Their number is 660-248-9987. And I want to thank you too for giving us this very insightful program on your lives in antiques. What else would you like to tell us about your lives in antiques and what you know about antiques that might be of special interest to listeners?
I think that people need to be aware of reading material on antiques. I was recently in Barnes & Noble, and there was very little at that time on antiques and very few price guides available. But price guides used to be a very popular item, and we always have kept the old ones because while the prices and the values may have changed, the descriptions of items are quite good, and it also shows marks for china and glassware and that sort of thing. So if you run across old books, hold on to them. They really are helpful in just knowing what you have.
Mary, would you like to add?
Well, I think she's right on the books. We have collected and kept quite a selection of older books just to use as reference because they do tell you so much about the items. There are publications out there today. Antique Trader can still be purchased and it's mailed to your house, maybe bimonthly. Main Antique Digest will show you a lot of fine examples of furniture, more furniture than other things. But again, general reference books, Covell's have written several, Warman's, one called Antiques and Collectibles. Again, I think the key to knowing what you're getting into is a little study. Work on, if you're really wanting something old, you know, find some examples and maybe find a reference that will help you to discover which is the old and which is the new. Those things are all very important to keep in mind.
Thank you, Susan, and thank you, Mary. And for now, I'm Jane Krigler, and I'd like to thank our sponsors, the Boonslick Historical Society and KPIP FM Radio 94.7 in Fayette. You've been listening to Howard County Remembers, so we're signing off for now. I hope you tune in to our next program.
You've been listening to Howard County Remembers on 94.7 KPIP. This episode featured Mary Jarbo, Susan Donnelly, and Jane Krigler. It was directed by Jane Krigler and produced by Rachel Steele. This episode of Howard County Remembers has been made possible by the Boonslick Historical Society on 94.7 KPIP. You're listening to Howard County Remembers, brought to you by the Boonslick Historical Society, only on 94.7 KPIP. Thanks for listening to Howard County Remembers on 94.7 KPIP, brought to you by the Boonslick Historical Society.